We rolling?
We're rolling.
We rolling everywhere? Oh, yeah. There, maybe we'll keep that part in. Maybe we won't. That's the thing we do at the beginning to link up the video and the audio.
Mm-hmm.
The little clap. Never understood it. I always thought it was so stupid.
And then it just for show?
I thought it was just so people would be like, all right, we're an official thing. Clack.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I even had one of those things, a little clacker thing.
Yep. That you got from Universal Studios, probably.
Yeah. And I realized, oh, jeez. Okay, that's awful.
Making music.
I realized that's super important because you link up the audio and the video with that one sound.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of how I did it, which was like take a bunch of words and try and link them up. It's really stupid.
Would you just say the same word like potato and try to link up?
No, I wouldn't do anything. I would just like just film something, record the audio, and then go in and try to line it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that clacker thing is because you line up the moment where the clacker closes with the sound.
Yes.
Makes a ton of sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, once you see it.
Not just for show. Welcome to the Nice Peter Podcast. It's intro music for the Nice Peter Podcast. Nice Peter Podcast. It one job.
I freaked out, I'll be real honest. I was like, do I press the space thing? Do I hit the keyboard mouse? Do I, you know? But there was a lot of moments. Like, that is my one job. That's what makes that one job so hard.
I'm not saying you only have one job. I was really talking to the computer. We have this whole computer set up.
That was my bad.
I'm not trying to.
I appreciate that you might want to move the blame, but that was completely on me.
This is the first time we've used a sound cue. That was our first sound cue here on the podcast. And it took many minutes to set that up, to coordinate it. Instead of going back. And it's funny because the whole sound cue is just us going, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, which we could probably do.
Yes. And we probably maybe should. It'd be fun for each one.
Originally, the ba-da-ba-ba-ba was like, oh, we'll go back and we'll record a song here
mm-hmm.
and put it in as the intro music to the Nice Peter Podcast. And then it turned into the intro music to the Nice Peter Podcast.
I think it's beautiful and organic.
Maybe we could get like a little cassette player that sits in the middle and just press play on it. So it maybe that's terrible. I would like to...
I think it's going to just take some getting used to.
Everything does, man.
Yeah.
Everything does. I'd like to demonstrate the official sound effect of the Nice Peter Podcast. This is, if you're not watching and you're just listening, this was sent to us from a man in Scandinavia.
Yes.
In the mail. And it's a little terrifying skeleton thing. And it sounds like this. Which, it's probably the worst sound ever.
It's like a broken dog toy.
Yeah. It sounds like a broken, sick, dying dog toy. And if you could see it, if you're just listening and you can't see it, it's like this bloody skull and it's
maggots.
Yeah, eyeball maggots.
Oh, I never noticed that part.
Oh, it's horrible. But fantastic.
But thoughtful.
So I don't know where there's two different lineages of time going on now. There's podcast time.
Yes.
And then there's the real world of time
yes.
where our podcast has started to be shared with people.
Yes.
So we've released the first two podcasts at this moment when we're making this one. The idea here is that we're going to get a little bit of a head start. So when things get crazy with the rap battles, we'll still be able to put out podcasts. So I don't know where you are listening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Dante, I don't know what time you're working on.
I could be anywhere.
But I know that at this moment, we're responding to comments that were put on our first two podcasts.
Yes.
And they asked
That's
us.
That's important to say. Yeah.
Do you remember what they asked us?
They want to know more about tour and just
sure.
tour stories,
stories
and general feelings and yeah, tour stories.
I didn't come prepared with any stories. I mean, I know we went on tour last summer.
Yes, we did.
2 months.
Yeah.
1 month across the United States.
Yep.
1 month across Europe and all of its splendors.
Yes.
So let's tell some stories.
Where do you start?
God, that noise is tough. So that's the noise of the hinges on these microphone stands that we have, you can make like a creepy horror movie soundtrack with them. Check it out.
It's a really big bass string.
Okay, anyway. Tour stories.
Tour,
where do we start?
Oh, gosh. Okay, how about at the beginning when the van was dropped off?
Sure. Okay. This is a great place to start. So we rented this van. This was a big upgrade for us. We'd never done this kind of tour. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always toured with Ed, my manager over in England, in a car. Mm-hmm. We'd rent a two-seater. Yeah.
You know, a vehicle.
A hatchback.
Standard vehicle.
Tops. And I toured in the United States in a Subaru hatchback.
Yep.
So we rented this van we found online. It was a tour van with bunks in it. Five bunks. And I guess I should have known that a van with five bunks in it is very big.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Well, I think you knew, but you were like, oh, yeah, I could do that.
I knew it was big. I didn't explain. We're just bumping into things all over the place here.
This is the bumpy podcast.
We also had to get a trailer because the van was maxed out. It had five bunks, a little living area, the two seats for driving.
Yeah. No storage.
No storage at all. And so we rented this trailer. So this van gets dropped off. We walk around the corner to the parking lot, and it's larger than a
it's
whale.
Massive. It is a whale's exact word that was going
to
use.
It looked like a blue whale at a museum. Yeah. When you're like, oh my gosh, that's big. Like, wow.
Yes. Well, I do like 24 feet long.
At least.
Yeah.
I hear a cat crying in the distance. I'm sure it'll be fine. It was a very big vehicle. And then the vehicle was big.
Yeah.
And then the trailer was like an additional, I don't know, 400 feet, something.
It was massive.
So big. And I've never driven anything like that.
No, I've never driven anything larger than a Saturn. Like my mom's Saturn car.
That was the largest car that came to your mind was a Saturn?
I'm from personal experience.
Sure. Hey, that's what this is all about.
I did drive a big van once for a job. Wasn't my car.
All right. You drove an ice cream.
Yeah, a big ice cream van.
Truck van.
Yes.
In your ice cream days.
In my ice cream days.
I still have a sheet of paper where we wrote out our business plan when we got the studio.
Yep.
And it included, we were going to get by on $5 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Spending money, mm-hmm. $10 a day for food.
Yep.
You had to keep working ice cream.
Yeah.
And you had to start teaching guitar lessons.
Yeah, no problem. I was ready to do.
Absolutely. And here we are making a podcast. So I think actually, just sidetracking from the tour conversation for a moment, that's almost my favorite part about this is that, you know, we have a little analytics tool to see how many people listen to the first two podcasts.
Yes.
And it's the kind of numbers that used to get me so excited. It's like a real amount of people. It's the amount of people that I could see them in a room and be like, okay, mm-hmm. you're all here. Hello. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, when a rap battle goes out, it's like, that's more people than vote.
Hello.
Yeah, that's more people than vote for things. That's just,
absolutely.
That's a lot of people.
Wow.
So that's exciting. Yeah. I like that we're growing this from the start. So if you're here and this isn't your first podcast, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
If you're returning, you know, here's this one's for you.
You get it.
So this trailer pulls up and we immediately start freaking out.
I was like, we need to send it back. We've made a mistake. And we need to
return
it right back because there's no way we're driving this.
It was too big.
Yeah.
I actually looked in. I was like, what do we do? Can we return this? What do we do? This very strong woman.
Yeah.
She looked like a police woman.
What is her name? Yelsa?
It was something like that. Yeltsin.
Yeah.
Boris Yeltsin. Yeah. Dropped off the van. And she had the presence that you needed to drive a vehicle of this size.
Yeah.
Big, strong arms.
Yes.
Big, hairy, strong arms. And I just felt underprepared.
Yeah.
Terrified. We had insurance, so that was all good. We really made a point of getting the right kind of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured but I didn't want to die in it.
No, yeah, insurance doesn't make you experienced. It doesn't give you the frame that you need to drive a vehicle like that.
No.
And I feel like frame is a big part of your ability to drive a large vehicle.
But as it turned out,
yeah,
what a smooth ride.
Very smooth. Like a big old little Saturn.
Oh, it was a Mercedes vehicle. It drove, our cat has joined the podcast. Hello, kitty.
Cat cast.
Oh, both of them are here. Come here. Meow. You want to make an appearance? Hold on one second. Okay, well, we'll just leave him. I don't like trying to grab cats.
No, it seems dangerous every yeah. time.
They're very friendly. They're not going to bite or scratch or anything, but it just feels like you're forcing them to do something against their will. So he's going to sit there by the baby piano. So we get in the van. We give it a try. Turns out, smooth as can be.
Mm-hmm.
Turns are a bit wide. It's like a four-lane turn, and then the trailer, she just very nonchalantly was like, okay, watch out for the trailer. Swings wide. Keep an eye on it, and good luck to you.
Yep,
just
gone.
That's it. And so we just to drive it around the block to get back to in front of where we were loading in was terrifying.
Yeah.
But we did it.
Sure did.
And then by the end of the tour, the van was all that mattered.
Yeah.
It was our home. It was my bedroom.
Living room. Dining room.
I one night got a hotel room and I ended up leaving it to come back and sleep in the van with you guys because yeah. I felt so alone.
Yeah.
There's way too much space.
Yeah.
So by the end of it, we were backing that thing up, going through toll booths.
Yeah, no problem.
Like a breeze.
Yeah. It just becomes a vehicle. You just know how big you are.
Right. You get used. It's amazing how fast you get used to something. You start something out and it's terrifying. And then all of a sudden it's like you're home.
Yeah.
So that's a story.
Yeah. You got to dive in. You know, sometimes big things seem scary. And once you start to do them, they're just not that scary anymore.
Not as scary as it seemed like it was going to be.
It's just that first drive.
Not knowing how to do stuff is scary.
That was terrifying, that first drive, though.
Yeah. So then we picked up the British guys. That's a good segue. It was a police helicopter
like overhead. There will be.
So the guys on tour with us were a band called the Jackpot Golden Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of our roadies and our opening band.
They were our spirit animals is what they were.
Spirit animals definitely was on their job description. Yeah. And our tour manager, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all from England, from the northwest of England. So the Jackpot Golden Boys brought this sense of wonder and adventure to every moment. Everything was fascinating to them. Every time they used a dollar, it was kind of a hoot. You know, it's like all the gas was in gasolines instead of liters.
Yeah.
Gasoline.
Gallons.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so they were just all smiles the whole time. Really unbelievable guys. Ed's a bit of a grumpier guy, but
also, he shows it. Because to get Ed to crack a smile, just to shine a little bit of light.
What a joy.
It's like you can feel the amount of light that's underneath that's ready to burst. Oh, but he's a lot of
he's an active volcano. Going on. Active volcano of love. He is. So we pick up the British guys and they've never driven on the right side of the road.
No.
And when I say right, I mean correct, because all of England is wrong.
Yes, you're the only ones, guys.
So they're not only driving this beast for the first time, because that was also part of their job was to help us drive.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some 10-hour, 12-hour drives.
Mm-hmm.
So that was terrifying. So I'm in the back in the bunk, like trying to nap. You go over any wiggle, it's like, I'm going to die. But that was it.
I remember the first time that they started like really driving, I believe it was somewhere in Montana, and just like, I'm going to be comfortable. And, or I'm going to choose to lay down. That was also when I believe I got sick on a protein shake of some sort.
Ah, yes.
And just like laying down in my bunk and seeing Alex driving and seeing just tall green mountains of, like, all around us.
Yeah.
And just hope for the best.
It feel good or feel bad?
I was ready to die. I just made peace with death and I laid down.
Yeah. I found Jesus that way.
Yeah. Yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah. I'm not a particularly religious man. But I was laying in the back in the bunk. And I was freaking out, afraid for my life and safety. And I started going through things to help me calm down. I was like, let me think about this. All right, I thought about this. Let me think about this girl. Let me think about candy. I don't know. Candy's not a girl. I meant the actual sweet. And I was like, I wonder what it's like to imagine Jesus.
Yeah.
And I imagined, you know, the classic face that you have of Jesus with the you know, the beard.
Hello, Peter.
No, he didn't talk to me. But I just imagined the face. That's all that happened. Mm-hmm. And I instantly felt calm. And I think that some, and they're welcome to, might interpret that as the, you know, the power.
Actually.
The power of the belief. I, from a very scientific kind of approach to it, I was like, that's just a very calming presence. Whether or not Jesus was or were not a miracle man, the way he looks makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Just right off the bat. He's off to a good head start.
Yeah.
So whether or not you believe in Jesus, I get something that I'd never gotten before that moment I was terrified for my life.
Yeah.
That to think about that visage has a calming effect.
Absolutely.
So I found my own personal Jesus.
There's a song about that.
Yes, I know.
Do you think part of it was it just the image, or was it also what goes along with the image, which is like this concept of everlasting life, you're forgiven,
that's
all is good.
No, I didn't
you're
think
loved.
I didn't think of any of that stuff.
It's just the man.
I was just not even just the man, a face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I had looked closer and seen the wounds and stuff, I might have started to get freaked out. But I just imagined the face.
Yeah.
And I found a sense of calm.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I've ever had that experience.
That's great.
I did, like I said, I have never been a particularly religious forward person, but I tried to approach it with openness and interest. And I was like, wow, that's an effective face.
Yeah.
So that was that. That was my finding Jesus story. Yeah. Every time I tell that story, I see this look on people like, where are you going with this, man?
No, it happened.
Yeah, it happened. Totally happened. So there's a tour story. Yeah. What else you got?
So making peace with death and Jesus. English people driving the right way.
Those are really locked in right there.
Gosh. I had a profound appreciation for truck drivers and transport in general. The transport industry, like, you don't think about the stuff that gets moved across the country to be brought to you, so your life can function. But there are just thousands of truckers all over the country bringing you everything you need in these gigantic vehicles.
Yep.
And you just don't think about it, especially when you get to like the more rural farm towns where all the kind of slaughter and raising of animals is too.
Sure.
There's like just trucks that go from fairly short distances
carrying animals,
but they're just stock full of animals.
Yeah, and that's a hard job.
And they smell terrible.
Horrible.
But there's just so many guys, people on the road driving these trucks.
And you don't realize it until you shower with them.
Yep.
Which we did. We lived with them.
Sure.
We showered amongst them. Yep. We barbecued with them. So we lived, because we had this van with the bunks, we never had to get hotels.
Mm-hmm.
So we stopped either like on rest stops, but sometimes we'd go to truck stops,
mm-hmm.
and you'd pay like $8 to get a place to park your vehicle, and you could plug in your little things. We had power, so we could watch. There was a little TV. We'd watch TV, you know, crack some brews and mm-hmm. and hang out in our motorhome, essentially.
Yeah.
And you'd wake up in the morning and you'd just be surrounded by thousands of trucks. Maybe not thousands, hundreds, many,
hundreds,
lots of them.
But the way they're columned and set, it feels endless.
And there's people waking up, they're making their coffee, they're stretching, you go, and there's the shower thing, and you pay, and you get a private booth. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Just to see that.
And they have movie theaters. They have...
those are mostly sad.
Yeah. And you notice there weren't a lot of bars. You know?
No.
I don't recall there being a lot of bars.
They're driving for a living.
Exactly. But it's a very conscious...
Sure.
No booze here.
Yeah.
There's stuff to keep you awake.
I support that.
There's stuff. Yeah, totally.
Caffeine. Yes. I don't want to see bars at a truck stop.
But I feel like you get the concept of a truck stop and there's like guys with beers kind of. It's like kind of that vibe.
I don't get that vibe. I get the coffee vibe.
Like Dumb and Dumber. Those guys having beers and stuff. You know? I feel like that's maybe a misconception.
Honestly, when Dumb and Dumber 2, or what,
whatever.
When the newest Dumb and Dumber came out, I wiped all memory of Dumb and Dumber.
Did you see it?
No, I did not.
Me neither.
I pretended it never existed.
Okay with that.
I saw like one preview. I was like, oh, I'm just going to forget this movie ever happened.
Yeah.
Both of them. All three of them. Because there was another one.
Yeah, there was a middle one.
Dumb and Dumberer with like other people.
Yeah, younger versions, I think.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's bad. So there's another story. Living amongst the truckers was incredible.
And then seeing them, how they clean their trucks, how they take care of their trucks.
Sure.
How they have to handle these just behemoths and how they handle them with such grace.
Do you remember the time you tried to back up the van into this one spot and it took you, I think, 45 minutes and the whole truck stop was watching you? And the combination of embarrassment in your face and the joy... And all of ours watching you, like, no, I got it. Oh, damn. And then you'd have to come all the way out. Because when you back up a vehicle with a trailer, the trailer goes the opposite
way that you're turning.
That you think. It's like counterintuitive.
Yeah, you turn left, the trailer's eventually going to go right.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. If you turn right, the trailer's going to go right.
If you turn left and back up, the trailer's eventually going to go right.
Trust me on this one, bro. Yeah. This is why you spend 45 minutes in truck stop. When you back up a trailer, when you turn right, the trailer goes right. That's what's weird.
It does make sense, doesn't it? That's why I had that problem.
It's completely right. After a month, you refuse to accept this into your bones.
But it was a rite of passage.
Yeah.
You know, I needed to be embarrassed publicly in the daytime in front of all those truck people.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I think when we pulled up in like the purple tour van with the neon lights, we were already embarrassing to the real truckers.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to call them transport masters or something, some other title, because trucker people, truckers.
Trucker people has some insult to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, these are transportation masters. Okay.
I don't think anyone says trucker people.
Well, I'm trying to make do for when I called everyone trucker people.
I support you on transport masters.
Yeah, transport masters.
Transport wizards. Transport
wizards
masters.
Are great.
They might not be into wizards.
Higher calling of movement.
Transport lords. Lords of transport.
Lords of the transport.
Lords of the transport. They were incredible people that we lived amongst.
Yeah.
And then we went to... Is this whole podcast going to be about tour stories?
I mean, why not? There are a lot. We can probably do two or three podcasts.
Yeah. So this is in direct response to some requests we got.
Yep.
This is on the nicepeter.com comment section of the podcast.
Yes.
So if you leave a comment, we'll take it to heart.
Yeah.
So do you remember when we camped? And it's interesting. None of these are about the actual shows.
God, I know. But this might be a separate podcast.
Right. So we camped outside of Portland. And... everything you can possibly imagine being beautiful about a campsite, this place was.
Yeah.
And first we went to this little grocery store that I don't think had replaced their food since Kennedy. Like, these hot dogs were like, I don't even understand where they were from.
I think I picked up a can of baked beans with years of dust.
Yeah.
Just, I had a blow dust that, off.
That's what it was the immense dust on it. That's not what you want to see in a grocery store.
No.
So we bought this food first and we're like, I don't know, I guess we're going to do this. We bought some onions. But then in our campsite, we found they sold little meats and vegetables. Mm-hmm. So we ended up buying those, getting rid of the wrinkly old potatoes, getting new potatoes. So we chopped up all the meat and put it, and all the potatoes and all the carrots.
Yeah.
We got some olive oil and some salt and some pepper and some garlic. And we put it in these tinfoil balls and we lit a fire and we roasted the tinfoil bricks in fire and then put some hot sauce on them and had tortillas, cats crawling around our knees.
So Great Cat was just laying on my foot, like basking, like Cleopatra.
Yeah. No, they get real romantic. So we cooked these just delicious bricks of food and then they sat within us as bricks of fart fuel.
Yeah, it's disgusting for our bodies.
For 5 days, five dudes cramped up in a van, just full processing.
Full of meat and onions.
It was amazing. It's amazing how close you get to a group of people when you're crammed in one space.
Yeah.
We should do it more often as people. I think we get so isolated from each other because we don't have to go through anything together.
Yeah.
And whenever you do anything hard with someone else, you come out closer.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
We should just get together and do challenging stuff.
I think for me, that's camping and in general, you know? Even hanging out with people around a campfire when you have like nothing else to do, you can't really go off and avoid them or avoid a conversation.
Right.
The only thing to avoid the conversation is to stare at the fire.
Which is lovely.
It's like the best intermission you could imagine.
It's almost like meditating. Kind of.
Yeah.
It's great. So that was cool. Portland was cool. Every place we went was pretty cool.
Really was. I never thought I'd visit Oklahoma or Kansas.
Tulsa, Oklahoma turns out is one of the cooler cities.
100%.
Had never been there.
The arts district we were hanging out in.
I wonder if there's anybody from Tulsa, Oklahoma listening right now. It's like, woo!
I hope so.
I guess we'll keep it to American stories for this one. On a later podcast, I don't know what time it is. I don't care.
Yeah.
But on a later podcast, we can talk about the rest of the world. Because we did have some crazy adventures in Europe.
Sure did.
But I want to get started. How much do you feel comfortable talking about your driving experience in New York City?
Oh, I mean, I don't want to brag the entire podcast.
But it got deep. It got, conquered some childhood stuff.
Yeah, we can go all the way. Yeah.
So Dante was driving through New York City in this giant van, and he really drove the crap out of it.
I knew, having lived in New York City, that if I was going to drive in New York City, I had to drive like every other person who cut me off and almost killed me.
Sure.
That's the kind of position you have to take if you're going to make it through New York City.
Yeah.
So I entered that with just no timidness. And at this point, we had driven from California to New York.
Yeah.
So had a lot of driving underneath our belts.
Right.
And I just plowed through that city, like no problems.
It was a transformation.
Taking lefts all the time. Just harrowing tight passageways.
Sure.
I'm first. I am first. I don't care who you are, unless you're a bigger vehicle. I am first.
And I can feel the... emotions
awesome.
Emotions surge in you right now. So, you know, I've known you for a long time. People out there, I don't know if they get an impression of you as a particularly aggressive guy. I've never known you as like an aggro dude.
No.
But on this drive, something came out of you.
Yeah.
And you became a master of transport.
Yes.
And you didn't let anybody give you any bull, you know? And it was amazing to watch.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Great cat's doing stuff. Is he modeling for everyone?
I don't know. If you're not watching the podcast and just listening right now, my cat has put himself in one of those perilous places where you can't help but watch because it looks like he's about to break something. Kitty, yeah, what are you doing? I know you can't talk. Gosh, you look so much older. I remember when you were just a babe. You grew up so fast. Anyway, so yeah, that was just an interesting experience for me to see you transform.
Yes. And so the deep childhood thing, I guess.
Hey.
I think I was getting out an emotional thing in me with like my father hating to drive in New York City and was like, just would detest going to any kind of cities just because of the traffic. And, you know, and that'd be the default setting for why you don't go to a city.
Sure.
And here I am in probably a very perilous situation.
Yeah.
Like just asking for harm to come my way, so to speak.
For people's lives on the line.
Not true. Yeah, people's lives on the line.
Sure.
Property damage all around me.
Sure.
I had no F's to give that day. And I knew I would be fine. And I knew you had to just grab it by the balls if you're going to do it.
Sure.
And it was just a very freeing experience to have that opportunity.
But what a powerful moment for us as men.
Yes.
Whenever we conquer something that our fathers struggled with.
Yes.
And I think I was waiting for you to bring it up.
No, and you should, because I don't know how to quite say it.
Well, that was what I watched happen.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful. We all, you know, we grow up as boys. Our fathers are, you know, if they're in our lives, they're the man we're learning from.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I ever beat my dad at a race.
Mm-hmm.
I felt terrible.
Yeah.
I had been trying to beat my dad at a race for years. I don't know what that light means.
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Until what happened?
We have to do a little switch of the
car. We switched the camera. Okay. We can talk openly. I don't know. But now I know. Now I know the light means 5 minutes. So when I beat my dad at a race, you know, I've been trying to beat him.
Mm-hmm.
When I beat him, I felt so bad. Because I don't know why. It was like, you want to beat your dad, but you don't actually want to beat him.
No.
And it was so interesting and powerful for me to watch you overcome one of your father's challenges.
Yes.
How deep.
Yeah. But I didn't feel bad.
No.
I felt like I wish he was there next to me to be like, check it out, man. It's like New York City is not going to eat you alive. Everyone here isn't an asshole.
Right.
You just have to
do it. Right. Yeah. And you did it. And, you know, if he was sitting next to you, he might have been freaking out for you, and it might have been worse. If he could have just been watching a videotape, that might have been great. What I loved is when, you know, your father came to that show that night, and I expected you to like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what you say to your dad. I almost said, suck it. That's totally inappropriate. But I expect you to rub it in his face a little bit, to be like, oh, I drove, you know, I conquered that city. But you didn't. You were just like, oh, yeah, you know, it was hard, but I got through it. You're really humble about it. It was cool.
Yeah.
You worried about the cats?
I'm a little bit. That might stop the recording.
Let me grab it.
Let's pause for a second. Be right back. If you're listening, Gray Cat is all over the camera right now. He is the star of the show. It's not a Gray Cat podcast.
I'm trying to see if I can get him to play with the terrifying skeleton toy. Can you come here and purr for us, bud? Let's get a purr in the microphone. I do love having cats.
I've noticed.
Oh, gosh, I love having cats.
You're definitely a cat guy.
Well, I had cats all growing up. Mm-hmm. I really think I learned how to love from cats.
Yeah. I learned how to be fearful and hate because of cats, ironically.
All righty. No, I had some, I had a cat at that awkward 13-year-old time, you know, wasn't getting along with the ladies so well.
Yes.
My parents were very supportive. Wasn't the most affectionate household in the world. Wasn't a huggy, huggy house.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a lot of physical affection going on in my life, but I had my cat and, my cat opened my heart in a way. My cat Tiger, God rest his soul.
R.I.P. There was a cat that was, when I was 8 years old, I was outside playing, and then a cat approached me from the outside lands. And I was like, oh, kitty. I was like, oh, what do you do for cats? Like, you get them a bowl of milk.
Sure.
Got a bowl of milk. Put the bowl of milk down. Kitty's looking for a bowl of milk. I was like, this is so great. I was like, Kitty, reached out to Kitty. Kitty just, yeah.
Yeah.
Scratches all across my forearm.
Sure.
Bleeding. And just runs away. And I...
We thought you were trying to take his bowl of milk.
Yeah. Well, I'm 8 years old.
Sure.
So in my mind, cat equals devil equals can't be trusted. Can't trust anything that looks like a cat.
So instead of learning the lesson,
I was
don't
eight.
Take food from cats, you learned cats are devils.
No one told me don't take food from cats.
The cat did.
But as an 8 year old,
hey man,
I'm showing compassion towards an animal.
Yeah.
I'm feeding an animal.
And then
I didn't try to take anything from it.
Oh,
as an 8 year old,
you just went to pet him.
Yes.
Got it.
The cat.
Yeah, it's important. I think that I grew up with cats, so I learned you just don't touch them when they're eating. You don't touch dogs when they're eating. The cat is now just chilling on the podcast table. That's great.
That's great.
It's awesome.
It's kind of a perfect look.
I hope he's in the shot.
Yeah.
I don't know if he is or not. Is he? Great. So if you're just listening at home, I wish I could get some purr sound for you because they have good purrs. He actually, he drools this one, which is slightly weird for a cat, I think.
What prompts it? Do you know?
He's got I think it's a nursing thing. He likes to, you know, I don't know if he was separated from his mom too young or what, but like he doesn't get real cuddly, but when he gets cuddly, it's intense. He comes right up, gets into your neck. He loves to do the little I'm making biscuits on your flesh thing.
Which Mary told me is a sign that like my mommy left me thing, which is really cute. Really sad, but still a very cute little affectionate thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's cute. You should definitely try to get a cat with mommy issues because they're the best. So yeah, he's hanging out here. Glad to have him. I think he's gonna fall asleep. Yeah, they're just so sweet.
Yeah, it's regal.
Yeah,
very. I respect cats.
Oh, not a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Why do you respect them?
Because they attacked me once as a child.
Okay.
But now getting closer and knowing that they're not just savages.
So your fear eventually turned into respect.
Yes.
That's so classic, man.
Yeah.
That's like military training techniques.
Yeah.
You get people to fear you, and then they respect you after you stop hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been reading a lot about the military.
What you reading? What about?
I just wrote a little blog post about this. I'm reading about the Allied invasion of Italy.
Okay. From Africa?
They went from North Africa over to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, I wrote this down. This is what it boils down to in my mind. There was hundreds of thousands of men with their guns pointing forward.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of guns. Big guns, small guns, all pointing forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say we because I live in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Just basically ran right at them. Essentially. It's an island.
The Italian army?
The Italian army folded pretty fast. So when they landed in Sicily, the Italian army was the main defender. And we came up. But the Italian army, I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Italian army did their thing in Roman times.
Yeah.
They're a little over it.
Yeah.
They conquered the world already.
Sure
did. It's like, it's not that great, honestly. Then everything falls apart.
I think they learned that you can go a lot farther with making great food and
and a super powerful
sexy
religion.
Oh,
yeah, they did that for a while. They dabbled in religion.
But the wine and the cheese and the sex.
Definitely a great way to live.
Yeah. Okay.
So, allies came in, took over Sicily. But the whole time, it was basically men going forward towards guns and knowing some of us are going to die.
In a line?
Not in a line. It wasn't like British times. I mean, the British were there. I'm not saying, I meant like, you know, like Revolutionary War times.
So D-Day kind of feels like a line to me.
That's kind of what I mean. Yeah. There's a lot of amphibious assaults
uh-huh.
and assaults on high ground where it's like, there's a bunch of people defending a place with guns. We're going to keep going until we get them out of there. And it's unbelievable. And people made, like, every level was incredible. The dudes in the front risking their lives, watching a dude get shot next to you and just being like, gotta keep going, instead of like, oh my God, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
You couldn't freak out like that. You just couldn't. So those dudes, amazing. What bravery. I've never experienced anything like that. Never will.
Yeah.
The guys ordering them, be like, go towards the guns. They're not heartless, soulless creatures. They know that their orders are going to make some of them die.
Yeah.
They have to kind of live with that, but it's got to be done. What are you going to do? It's crazy. It's obviously a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I know.
But it's like a giant game of King of the Hill, but with big guns.
But you die at the end.
And no fear.
Yeah. No, it's did you see Fury?
I did.
What'd you think?
I loved Fury. I love World War II. It's a fascinating subject to me. Fury's a little different because it's about a time when like the war was kind of over.
Yeah.
But Germany wasn't into it.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you're in Germany, I would love to talk to you about this sometime. I'm so fascinated by what it must be like to hear these stories and be like, that's my country that you're talking about. But to me, it's like a totally different place. Yeah. Time.
America has its fair share of things. Yeah, there you go. That's my, that's my country.
Yeah, we talk about slavery and being like, oh, damn. Yeah sorry. So I guess, yeah, we've all done our things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Fury was good. Yeah. I like it. They used actual tanks. It's awesome.
Interesting. Didn't know. I mean, I guess that would make a lot of sense.
Segwaying back to tour.
Yeah.
Germany is one of my favorite places to play.
Sure is.
It's one of my favorite places to visit.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Berlin is my favorite city.
I want to live there.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf became a Christian because of Fury.
So
actually, his character.
Yeah, because he wanted to learn how it was to like fully submit himself to a higher power and like not worry, and so through that he actually became a Christian.
Wow. Shia LaBeouf, man,
kicking ass in my opinion.
Really turned it around.
Yep.
Went absolutely nuts, and then was like, "I'm going more nuts."
Yeah.
And then was like, "I'm going more nuts and putting bags on my head." And then he came out on Ellen and was like, yeah, I went real nuts. It was really weird. I was in some bad movies. Everybody hated me. So I figured I'd let him say it to my face.
Yeah.
And that's incredible.
Yeah. Really courageous.
Kind of. Yeah. And he was really good in Fury. So he won me back over. I used to make fun of him.
Did you see him in that Sia video? Sia?
No, he was such a dork. I hate that guy. I'm just kidding. So I was making fun of Shia LaBeouf again.
Okay.
I was really impressed by the way he turned himself around.
Yeah.
In my mind's eye. So that was our cameraman, Derek, telling the Shia LaBeouf story. And the cat is just taking over the podcast.
Yeah. It's trying to get my water. It will not.
Maybe next time we won't.
Fool me twice.
That's,
is that the word?
No.
Fool me once.
You just quoted George W. Bush instead of, well.
Perhaps that was on purpose.
All right. So maybe next time we won't let the cats in.
Sorry, I love cats, but
that's so interesting. Do you know how far you've come in your relationship with cats in just these few months they've been closer to your life?
That's all it's taken.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So just like the van, what seems like, because your allergies used to go crazy.
Yep.
But eventually you expose yourself. Now, I'm sure that's not the same with some people.
Yeah.
I've always wondered people with peanut allergies.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like what that must be like. Something that if you accidentally eat it, you can actually die. I don't have any of those. I'll get like sneezy.
So that's what I wonder what the difference is. Because here I am totally physically reacting to cats. I don't think it's in my brain or anything like that. And I can hang out with them for extended periods of time. And I'm just not, I don't have the same symptoms. Like a little bit at the very end of the night, I'll have a little bit like, oh, I guess I was hanging out with cats feeling. But not like my eyes would close up.
You look miserable.
Yeah.
So maybe if you meet someone with a peanut allergy, just shove a peanut butter cup in their mouth.
Like, hey man, it's all in your head.
No, I don't think that'll happen.
You can get past it.
I think they'll die. And I don't want anyone out there to be thinking they should shove a peanut butter cup in. You know what's weird about cats is they show you their butthole a lot.
I was just looking at the butthole the entire time. I want to be real honest.
It's real upsetting. It's right there.
And it's just perfect. It's like, it's just meant to be a butthole. All the hair is like, this is a butthole.
I got nothing to respond
like,
to that
all
way.
The hair got together and decided.
Right.
This is where we're going to put our butthole. We're going to make sure it's real easy for everyone. It's not, it doesn't work that way with other animals. Are you really rubbing yourself on the microphone?
He's getting cuddly. He's getting into it.
Because I looked at your butthole.
Cat butts, they do, they like, they'll come at you, they nuzzle with you, and then they turn immediately around and put their butt right in your face. It is a little weird.
Sorry, I'm using this.
That's all right. This is getting, so can you get him to purr? He's right in the microphone.
How do I do it?
Touch the butthole. truth is, we don't want to stop talking to you out there, but we have to. But we'll continue next time. So we'll see you then.
Bye.